There is a fascinating Taza Boisai. Rashi says at the end of the Megillah, the second last Rashi of the Megillah, it really is fascinating. It says that the second last Pasuk of the Megillah says, that Motcha became very Roy Vechov, that's right. Exactly, yeah. So he was Rotzel Roy Vechov. At the end, the happy end and everything, it was really Baruch Hashem, you know, everything was really good, and Motcha remained the Mishnah Lemelech Achashverosh. He became the vice king to this superior king, supreme king Achashverosh. V'rotzul Roy Vechov, he was very popular amongst most Yidden. Roy Vechov, meaning most Yidden, and of course sounds like a complete anticlimax, because as Rashi points out, the duke is obvious. It was Roy Vechov, Loi Koylechov. He was popular amongst most Yidden liked him, but not all of them. What do you mean? Most Yidden liked him, and not all of them. Why? So Rashi says what?
It's not bad.
Yeah, it's true. Considering, yeah. Consider, yeah, it's true. Yeah. I never thought of that, but it's true. Yeah. So the question is, Rashi says, Roy Vechov, Loi Koylechov, Melamed Shapir Shemin Asanhedrin, that he used to be in the Sanhedrin. He was a high judge in the Sanhedrin, because he became a Kurvel Malchus, because we were really close to the king, to Achashverosh, he became like a bit of an Askin. So if I can use the expression, which I think what it means is they kicked him out of the Sanhedrin. And Shapir Shemin, they removed him from the Sanhedrin, so he wasn't a Dayan anymore. And that's why he was not so popular anymore. So they kicked him out of the Sanhedrin. Now, this is unbelievable if you think about it. It really is incredible. We're talking about Motcha, a tzaddik who together with Esther, but they sorted out. Kalisol was in extreme, unprecedented danger. This was real, real danger. And this was not, this was a real, real sakana. And somehow, they were instrumental, and they orchestrated this, of course, with the Tfilis and with the Tarnis and with the Kadosh Baruch Hu's hidden involvement. But they sorted it out. After all that, what happens is kicked out of Sanhedrin. You know, you became like an Askan, that's it. You're a busybody, that's it. You know, you're not dying anymore. You're popular amongst most people, but Sanhedrin that felt, no, he's not the right kind of... It's unbelievable. It's almost mind-boggling that. It's really mind-boggling. So the pshat is... I think the pshat is as follows, and I think pshat is as follows. The shach says that I want to compare this to a taz. Actually, it's not a shach; it's a taz. A taz says, "What's greater? If you know, normally it's halacha. If you give tzedakah to something, it's really relevant now for Purim. If you give tzedakah to someone, let's say you're collecting tzedakah for." You're collecting soccer for Achnos's Kala. Achnos's Kala. And then at the end, you find out, she's married already for 10 years. You made a mistake. So can you now use the money that you've collected for something else? For the poor people, the local poor people. Can you do that or not? You collected. You made 10K on 10 grand on Purim, Achnos's Kala. And suddenly it turns out she's married with 5 kids already. You know, you just made a mistake. So the answer is you can't. Any mishan in tzedakah, you cannot transfer the tzedakah for one purpose to another. You have to return the money. You can't use it for another tzedakah. You can't do that. There's one exception. What's the halacha? And that's the exception. What if you collect money for hatzolah? Literally, I mean for hatzolah's nefoshes. And then afterwards, you're actually deciding. You know, actually, I want to. For hatzolah's got enough money. If you think about it, don't need the fourth ambulance. And I want to. Well, you need a thing like this. Well, I don't need that. So I prefer to give it to yeshiva, to a kohel. Can you do that or not? Or do you have to return the money? So the answer is, that's the halacha psuka, you're allowed to do that. Because that's an upgrade. So Hatzalat Nefosh is great, but Talmud Torah is even greater. That's halacha, Shulchan Aruch in Yehideh. So learning Torah is even greater than Hatzalat Nefosh. It's much more in the Gemara as well. So what we see from here is that greater than Hatzalat Nefosh, greater than Hatzalat is Limud HaTorah. So, of course, Motcha had to do it because he was the right man in the right place, and of course, there's no question about it. Had he not, then he would have been a shofar chadomim. There's no question about it. But the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked him to be the man who was at that point needed for that particular purpose, and he became close to Achashverosh, and he was the one who had to do all this, in a way, It was the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you know, it's very nice, very good, but really, you don't belong in Sanhedrin anymore. It's very good, but the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu chose him over anybody else to be the one who was involved in all that was a certain what's the right word? It was a certain
diminution.
Yeah. It was to some extent. So therefore, Rav Echav teaches us the incredible importance of sitting and learning. It's nothing great than sitting and learning Torah. Better than that.
Rabbi, I have a problem with that.
You do.
How can you say that learning Torah is more important than Hatzolah, which is saving somebody's life? Well, aren't we told you can break Shabbos to save somebody's life?
Yeah, I know.
How can you say that Hatzolah is
It's a good question. It's a really good question. Yeah, I know. It's a very good question. I'll give you a story as an answer. I heard this from Rabom Shmulevitz. He told me once the following story. There was once a Yid who came to his father, Chaim Shmulevitz, and he said, you know, there was a demonstration about Chilul Shabbos. I hope you hear the moshel that there was a demonstration on Shabbos, and it was, I don't know what the demonstration was, but going back to 1970s, demonstration, Chilul Shabbos, and that's it. People would go on the street, and it was like a whole thing, Chilul Shabbos, and all the Yidin had to go on the street to make a mecha, demonstrations against the Chilul Shabbos, and that's it. So somebody went out, and everybody was, that was like the signs up, the Pashkevilis, as they're called in Yerushalayim, you have to go, it's an Ol Gedolim sign, you have to go and protest against the terrible Chilul Shabbos, and you have to go, it's a mitzvah, it's a very important, you have to go down. So once somebody went out to Chaim Shmulevitz and asked him, I don't understand, is it really such a mitzvah? I don't understand, I mean, I'm closing my gemara, and I'm going to go out to demonstrate against Chilul Shabbos, it's not great to sit and learn yeshiva. So Chaim Shmulevitz answered him, he said, I'll tell you, once you're out on the street, and you see these big signs, then yes, of course you should go and demonstrate. But who asked you to be out in the street in the first place? Could have just stayed in the Smedish and you wouldn't have noticed it, and it would have been even better. He said, once you're out, that's what you're meant to do. But it's nothing greater than somebody actually sitting and learning Torah. So there you go. Of course, if somebody encounters a situation that he has to be a matzel nefoshes, then of course it's a shefech tom if he doesn't do it, and of course he's mechal Shabbos, etc. But in a way, if a person is just able to sit and learn Torah, there's nothing greater than that. Rabbi says, Seif Lamed Beis. Seif Chavtes. Okay, Yimein HaParashah Shkura is Befiv. What if the parashas are not... if the parashas that he's writing, so if he's writing parashas, he's not... So I mean, Seif Lamed Beis, Seif Chavtes. If Yimein HaParashah Shkura is Befiv, if the Sofa is not very familiar with the text... He's not familiar with the text. Okay, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Now, this gets a bit fishy, a bit like broken. So, Tzorich Shichto Mitoich Haksav. What you've got to do is you've got to copy a text. Don't second guess. But you have to copy the text. Now, what's interesting about this is that the Shulchan Aruch's Loshon is Im Ein HaParsha Shkuris Befiv, meaning if he's not familiar with the text, then he should copy a written text, and that's how he should do. Well, it seems to imply, surely, that if he is familiar with the text, he can do a balpe. Let me say it's very bad practice. What? Absolutely. Absolutely. Correct practice today is any sofer will not rely on his knowledge balpe. Rather, what he's going to do is literally going to copy word by word, ensuring he's not relying on his memory. It's when are you more likely to make mistakes? By writing from your memory or from copying literally word by word? So surely it's more likely to be accurate if you're copying the text word by word, you know, letter by letter, pardon?
They not trace.
Tracing, what do you mean tracing?
Like light goes through
a page. No, no, they...
page over...
I've never seen that. No, so the Shulchan Aruch's word is lav dafka, and lemaisa, of course, what they do is that they write, they copy, and that's how they write. However, Shulchan Aruch siflamet adds enosh and lichto velim kenyu de alikos. Very interesting scenario that you enosh and lichto, if you don't write. Elohim Cain, unless you're the Alikos, you can read. I mean, the most comparable scenario would be my the Goyish painter, which I once mentioned, that was a Goy and a painter, and he copied Aleph Beis on a painting which is hanging. So he copied literally from left to right. From left to right, he copied. Looks beautiful. Looks absolutely brilliant. But he didn't know what he was painting. He had no idea what he was painting when he was writing. But it looks brilliant. You can't tell that a Goy wrote it without any understanding. So there is. You know what I'm referring to? So there is just, so a person like that, if he's unable to read, he cannot write. A sofer must be able to read what he's writing. Right.
That means yeah.
He come back, correct.
He knows Shema, he knows the meaning.
Yeah. Yeah, so I would even argue that somebody's very, very heavily dyslexic, or somebody's got really, really heavy reading difficulty, and he finds it extremely difficult to read. It looks like if he's unable to access the written work that he's doing, he probably can't be a sofa, it appears. And the reason for that is what the Mishnah says. What's the reason for it? Why is it that you've got to be able to read what you're writing? What's the obvious reason? You're going to make mistakes. In Kuf Lamed Hey, Mishnah Berurah says, Bekal easily, you're going to make a mistake. When a magician won't even notice that you're making a mistake. So, yeah, even if he does know, but he finds it really, really hard to read, he's likely to make mistakes. Okay, Siv Lamed Aleph teaches us the following halachim. If you're not writing, if you're not writing from text, if you're not copying text, don't write from memory. Don't just do that somebody reads out to you and you're writing from hearing. So somebody says Shema Yisrael and you're writing Shema Yisrael. You can't do that. Unless you repeat and you read yourself. So if he just says it and you're writing based on your hearing, no, that's no good. What is okay is if he says it and you repeat it and you write it as you are repeating it, that's acceptable, that's okay. Seif lamed bay. So chlaniach chelik lemalo kedei gago shel lamed. This halacha is that you've got to leave a little bit of space on top of the lamed. Comparable to what we saw, what did we see? What's the concept called? You gotta have space. Mukaf Gvil. So that's indeed what the Ramo adds over here. Hagoshi Kamhe Mukaf Gvil. So Mukaf Gvil is not just on the smaller letters. It's no big deal to have Mukaf Gvil on a Yud, which is tiny. It's no big deal. You're easily gonna have a unwritten cloth around the Yud. That's no big deal. But even when it comes to the Lamed or to the end of Chaf, with the larger letters, you've got to make sure there is a little bit of klaf, unwritten, around the letters. That's the halacha of Mukaf Gvil, which is crucial. So he says, even the lamed, even the top of the lamed, must have Mukaf Gvil. Which I suppose gives us an indication about the space you've got to leave between the lines. Similarly also, lematok shechav venun, when you are gpshuta, when you got the end of letters, which also tend to be large, the end of chav, the end of nun, etc., you also got to ensure that in the bottom there is space on the klaf left, not touching another letter, as well as not going off the board. It can't reach right to the edge of the page of the klaf, because you got to make sure that it's mukaf gvil. So there must be a space around the letters. En zorg laniach, yeah. Maar zo met glas en zoif, en zorg laniach klaar. Miu, nou ga zoif laniach klaas met gillen was zoif. The meaning is to always allow a bit of space to a muk of will. But zorg laniach, been called table with table kamaloi ois. Now this, halacha, the motzis over here. Zorg laniach, you must leave, been called table with table between every single word, kamaloi ois. You must leave space of a letter between every single word. Is that always done? They try to do that, yeah? You'll see space between the letters. You're going to have at least one letter space, yeah? Sometimes a bit less, but generally It's now this halacha is ben shittim kamalo shito. What that means is that shito is a line, so you must leave between the line. So it must be the space between the lines must be of a full line. So you've written a line, you've got the size of the letters, and I'm referring to the larger letters as well, the endechops, the lamets, the endenuns, etc. You must leave that much space of the written between the lines of a full line. So that's what it means. Vein kol shittim kamalei shito, vein kol ois kamalei chut asayre. And between every letter, what is the distance that is required between the letters? Being called ois kamolei chut hasayre. Chut hasayre means a minute amount, like a hair, literally, between the letters. Kmoi b'sefetoy, like an asefetoy, v'kmoi shizbay b'tu yedek, am tzorich laniach ma'at, chalim b'posuk b'posuk. So the halacha that he stated over here is, you must leave a little bit of space, kamolei sayre, like a hair, width between the letters, and you also must leave a little bit of space between the psukim. Now the Mishnah Berurah says, yeah, but you'll see what the Mishnah Berurah says on this. Sivkotn kuf mem dalet. So we said that you've got to have distance between the lines, like a full line itself. Some said that the requirement of having the space between the lines has to be like a full line. That requirement is only required by Sefer Torah, and that's the meaning of the Sefer, which I don't know. Ain't so much laniach ella by Sefer Torah. Only by Sefer Torah, don't. No. You feel it's less. You feel it's a lot less. You feel that even if you take away the lamas and the nuns, if it's just of the actual like of a hay, would you fit the hay between the two lines? Very narrow. What's that?
Like we saw before, I think somewhere. Didn't you say somewhere before that the
shiurim
that we're saying
on
minimum?
Yeah. Of the minimum size, yeah.
But we're making our letters bigger than that, so you don't have to leave it the equivalent of a bigger letter. You have to leave it the equivalent of a.
Right. Maybe. I think we should keep this as a question. When we bring one, we should bring a taka sofa. When I would like to ask Rabbi Lush to come maybe next week or so. So we should ask him this, because I do feel that I thought about you. You're convinced that it's not, you don't have a full inner sefer Torah? Okay, because I do think that, remember I bought a parasha of tefillin the other day? Wasn't there a space of a, wouldn't have a full, what do you think? I'm not sure. I think they normally, I don't know. Now, Kichut HaSayron, Mishnah Berurah says, intestinal distance between the letters, Hanurak Lechatchilah B'Dyeved, and if so, Elim Kel Nires Katev V'Chaluk Ol Shnayim. Now, as long as you can see it, it's two different letters, it's kosher. K'moshin Yisbar Kol Zeh B'Yeridea. You didn't say it for today. So as long, in terms of the distance between the letters, all you got to know is that you have to have some distance between that you could see that it's two separate letters. Now, Sivkot and Kuf Mem Vav is what you're referring to between the words. How much distance do we have between the words? Sivkot and Kuf Mem Vav. Cholok Me'at, Me'at Cholok Avor, Mogen Avon B'Shem Kam Achroinim, V'agrob V'yuro, Yichiu. The many Achroinim Paskin, Tein Tzorich Laniach Cholok Yoisa, B'Bein Tevo L'Tevo, B'Emtza Posuk, that you keep the distance between the words in a Posuk, there's no difference between... There's no difference between end of the pasuk and between two words. Whether you're in the middle of a pasuk or at the end of the pasuk, you keep a little bit of distance between the letters, And it doesn't make a difference if it's the end of the pasuk or not. So we're not distinguishing between end of pasuk or not. And I think, Robert Feingold, no, that's, what do you think? That's what we do. You can't tell in a Sefer Torah if you are at the end of the pasuk. I think that a Balei Koreh would really appreciate that, actually. It would be very nice, right? And I said, Mogen Avraham says we don't do that. I don't know why.
It's
not awesome. No, on the contrary, the Shulchan Aruch says you should do it. Mogen Avraham says it's not the minhag, and you don't need to. Mogen Avraham brings B'shem Acharonim, you don't need to do it. I've never seen a Sefer Torah which is actually makpid on that. I don't know why. Now, Sefer Lamed Gimel teaches us the following. Yase Ashuros Shavos. Now, at the end of the... So the Ashuros Shavos must be that the end of the line should be equal. So it should look like a... should be consistent. It should be ending consistently. Yeah, Ashuros Shavos. Shaloite Achazich Neses V'Achziotze. You shouldn't have the end of the lines a little bit further, then a bit shorter, a bit further, a bit shorter. Zigzag. No, you can't do that. Lefoch is at the very least. Yizor Shalichtov Gimel Oisi is Chutz Hashita. At the very least, make sure that you don't have three letters going out of the line. Vim Kosvam, but if you did write three letters out of the line, Loi Posal, the Sefer Torah is not possible. But ideally, you should try to make it consistently ending at the same.
In between some words, and you might need to make the gap bigger or something.
That's correct. So that's why you see them often playing around with which letter? Dalet, Hey, Lamed. They play around with that, which is totally legitimate. Because the idea is, the agenda is, we want to finish the line consistently. We want to finish the line correctly. So the way you do that is a great chokhmah. You've got to have a lot of skill in that. And the most Sefer Torah have got a certain standard edition that they follow. But the idea is very much this halacha here. You want to finish the line consistently, nice and neat. So in order to do that, you've got to measure correctly. And by the way, remember, you can't just wake up the last letter. Now, because you might be doing a... You might be doing which letter? You might be doing a tzaddik, which you can't stretch. You might be doing which you can't stretch. So therefore, you need to be well aware of how to correctly measure your line to end up. But if you do three letters off, it wouldn't matter. But yeah, but. You can rub it out. It's not considered shalok esedon. Yeah, you could do that. But why would you think it's invalidating? Why would you see it as a problem? Yeah, so as long as it's not the name of Hashem, you can do that. So? Shaloi Kesedon is only a problem once you've continued writing. Then Shaloi Kesedon, not in the right order. In your scenario, what's not in the right order? It's the right order. Seif Lamed Dalet, base Ois Yoshem Teva Achas, Loichtavim Chutzeshita, two letters which are not two words which are one word, such as, what two letters can be one word? Aleph Lamed, S, Loi Don, then Loichtav Chutzeshita, don't write them out of the line. Hey, before we said three letters, now we're saying two letters. How many letters can you have out of the line? Two or three? What? Of course, that's what it means. If it's three letters, which are not part of a long word, so you can have three letters. But if it's one word, you can't have one word out of the line. If it's one word made out of two letters, it can't be out of the line. And finally, for tonight, Oisis Hashem, if you've got the name of Hashem, they must be all within the same daf. Lo yetzemem knal chutz ledaf. That has to be all within the same sheet, within the same daf. You wouldn't be able to. Oh, it's a shame. You wouldn't be able to separate them at all. Yeah. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, to summarize what we learned this evening, we learned that don't write bal peh, copy a text. We learned that don't copy somebody. If somebody tells you what to write, don't write based on your hearing. You've got to repeat what he says. We learned that you have to leave space, air space on top of the lines, muk of gvil. Also, by the larger letter, there's a requirement of having muk of gvil. We also spoke about the halach of leaving space between a little bit of space between the letters, a little bit of space between the words. There's no requirement to leave extra additional space between the psukim. We did learn that at the end of that the shuras should remain. We should complete the lines at the. We should complete the lines consistently. Don't make sure not to have 3 letters out of line. If it's a full word, even 2 letters should be out of the line. And name of Hashem should certainly not be split. And these are the halachas of this evening. Having said this, I wish you a very, very good evening. And Osha Freilichen Simchas Purim. Freilichen Purim should be a day full of Yeshuas. Nechomas, it's a day for it's taka, it's a big Yeshuas, really, really big Yeshuas, Yeshuas Aprat, Yeshuas Aklal.